Talking about prayer on Wednesday night, and I haven't exhausted the subject, so we're going to continue to talk about prayer. And we've talked about different people's prayer, different reasons for praying, different seasons for praying, different ways to pray. But tonight I want to look specifically into the prayer life of David. And not David Mitchell, David, you know, from the Bible. I want to talk specifically about David. And you know that he's got a lot of his prayers recorded. And it's called the Psalms. And we think about those as songs or poems, and they are. But many of them are in the form of prayer. And what I like about that is in the book of Psalms, when you read through them, there's all kinds of emotions and situations that he's going through. It's written down in there, and I like how real he is with God. Right? And I think we should be real with God because he knows us. He knows what's going on. He knows, you know. There is a difference, though, and I have to qualify this. There's a difference between the prayers in the Old Testament and prayers of the New Testament. And the reason that I say that is under the Old Testament, people were coming from the standpoint that God required this for me to be righteous. I had to do this, 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 and this, and not do that, in order to obtain righteousness, right? There was all the blood sacrifices and, you know, the two turtle doves and, all bulls and goats and all of that. But that was all done away with when Jesus became the sacrifice. So we're not praying from the standpoint of trying to work our way to God. We're praying from the standpoint that we're already before God because of the blood of Jesus. Do you get where I'm saying here? So some of the things in the Old Testament, they kind of read a little bit different, and they don't apply as much to us because things are different for us. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying it doesn't have validity. I'm not saying that we shouldn't study it and read it. But we just have to look at it from a perspective of the New Testament. Because we're New Testament believers going into the Old Testament to glean out of the Old Testament what led to the New Testament. Did you get all that? So in other words, somebody said it this way. In the Old Testament, the New Testament is contained. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament is explained. In other words, it's the fulfillment of what was happening in the Old Testament. I'm not saying we shouldn't read the Old Testament. We should. We should study the Old Testament. I mean, it's God's Word. From Genesis to Revelation, it's God's Word. And it all has application in our lives. But let's look at David. And I want to start out, and you're going to see the pattern if you're bright. I mean, if you're really sharp, you'll see what I'm doing here. But Psalms, the third Psalm. Listen to this, David. And this is a psalm of David when he fled his own son Absalom. You remember that? That he had to flee him because Absalom was saying, I'm going to take the throne by force. David was old and Absalom had people coming around him. You ought to be the king. And he, you know, got into that. And so he was after him, right? But watch this. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. In other words, it was just a few a while ago, and Lord, look at them now. There's a whole gang of them coming after me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept and awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves around about me, against me, all around. Listen, what he's saying here is, I have a relationship with God. And it doesn't matter who's coming against me or how many there are, I have to be settled in my relationship with God. So this psalm is a psalm of, Lord, I'm explaining to you and telling you and talking to you about where I am, but Lord, I trust you. And so it's a psalm of patience in the middle of the trouble. While he's praying this, nothing is changing. But he's saying, in the midst of it, I know that things will change because God is with me. Right? And so in our prayer life, we have to be at the place or come to the place where we trust God with everything. No matter how it looks, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what the situation is, you know, and all of us have faced those situations. God, I don't understand why this is happening, God, but yet I'm going to, in the midst of it, I'm going to say that you're my refuge, you're my strength, you're my fortress. Right? So we have to learn to wait patiently on God between the time that we pray or in the midst of our circumstances until the completion of his actions on our stead. How many know this, that you can't lose? Let me say that again. You cannot lose. Why? Because God is with you. Because God has redeemed you, because God has called you by name, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what can the devil do to you to make you lose? Nothing. The worst thing that could happen is he could kill you, which would be the best thing that could happen, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I cannot lose. The only thing that can make me lose or seem like I'm losing is living in the fear of my surroundings. So here the David was going, I refuse to live in fear even though there's 10,000s of people and they seem like there's more coming against me every day. He said, but I refuse to do that. And I like this. Verse 5 again, it says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbones, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing upon your people. See, he's saying, look, at Lord, I thank you that you're going to arise. You're going to take care of this situation. It's not up to me to make it happen. I'm going to trust you. How do we apply that in our own lives? Okay, let's just think about this for a minute. Maybe your kids aren't doing what you think they should be doing. And so you're in the midst of that, and the enemy is speaking to you about how bad it is and how bad they're going to be and how it's going to turn out, and they'll never turn around, and they're just going to, you know, on and on and on. He's going to jabber at you. And so what you have to do is come back at him and say, listen, I have a God who I trust, and I trust my God with my kids. And now, Lord, I thank you that you're going to arise and you're going to take care of my kids. You know where they are. They're more important to you than they are to me even. So I'm going to trust you with my kids. Now, that's easy to say, right? But it's sometimes harder to maintain. Because how many know you can trust the Lord, or I like this term a little bit better, you can cast all of your care upon the Lord. And you feel the weight of it go off. And you just, oh, praise God, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And then an hour goes by, maybe a day goes by, maybe 3 days go by. And all of a sudden, that's back. And you go, how did I get this back? Well, the reality is you took it back. Right? If you left it upon him, it couldn't come back. So what you have to say in the midst of it, like the David did here, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you've broken the teeth of the ungodly. In other words, the devil is a defeated foe because Jesus whooped him when he went to the cross. Right? And he's made an open display of him disarming of his power over us. Right? Now look at this, verse 8, it says, salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing is upon your people. How many feel blessed all the time? You just feel blessed, 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 I'm just blessed all the time. I don't. But that doesn't mean that I'm not blessed. It just means that my feelings are contrary to my reality. So I have to say blessed when I don't feel like it. I'm blessed. I just stubbed my toe in the middle of the night. I'm blessed. Right? Come on. It's a matter of God has blessed me, therefore I'm blessed. Make sense? All right, let's go to the 13th Psalm. 13th Psalm. Even in the midst of trouble, you can trust God, right? The 13th Psalm says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" In other words, God hasn't been showing up like he's used to. And it seems like there's, again, this is a psalm about when you're not feeling God, when it seems like God is deaf to your crying, deaf to your hearing. You know, you're in the midst of stuff and it's not going right. Verse 2 says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Sounds like a lot of whining here, doesn't it? But it's his heart. He said, "Lord, I'm drained. I'm down. This is my condition. How long is this going to take? How long am I going to be in this position?" And we've all felt that. But listen to how he goes on. He said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." In other words, he's saying, watch this. He's saying, this is how I feel. But Lord, I'm asking you to consider, hear me. Hear me. Because I need to be in your presence. I need you to answer me. I need to know that I know that I know that I'm your sheep. I need to hear your voice. All of us have been in that situation. God, I just need to hear you. Well, we need to, again, go back to the fact that he's already promised us, and I was reading it this morning, if you seek him, you'll find him. Right? If you knock, the door will be opened. If you'll ask, he'll answer. Right? Ask, seek, and knock. Those things are in there. If we do them, he will do his part. So I can rejoice when I ask that I'm going to hear. Come on. I can rejoice that, Lord, I'm seeking your will. If I'm seeking it with a pure heart, I'm going to find it. He's going to reveal it to me. Now, the timing may not be exactly like I like it to be, but I can rejoice in him knowing that he'll answer me. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, "But I have trusted in your mercy." Listen to this. "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." The beginning of the psalm was, "How long, God? How long is this going to take?" And then he's wrestling in his mind with what he's got to do. But by the end of this psalm or this prayer or this plea, he said, "But," and I like that, "I have trusted." Come on, "I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." In other words, God, you got my back. I know you've got my back. I'm going to rejoice if I don't feel like rejoicing. I'm going to continue to lift up your name and believe that you hear me and believe that you're for me. Hallelujah. How many remember the day that they got saved? Some people don't, because some people have been saved their whole life. Right? But I remember the day that I got saved. I remember the change of my heart. I remember the change of everything. I remember the knowing that God was real and that God was for me and that God loved me and that he would speak to me. I remember that. And how much that just changed my whole atmosphere. My whole behavior changed because of that. My whole lifestyle changed because of that. Well, there are times when, you know, life happens and life's a struggle, but you've got to remember back to how good he's been to you. Right? And at those times, even when you don't feel like it, even when it seems like things aren't going right in your prayer life, you should never stop at complaining why God and how long. You have to get to the but. I've trusted in your mercy. Come on. Let's read that again. Verse 5. But I have trusted in your mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. My heart, even though it doesn't want to, even though my mind is racing against it, I refuse to give in to my thoughts. And in my heart, I'm going to rejoice because you are my salvation. What does that mean? You're my Savior. You're my Deliverer. You're my Healer. Come on, you're my peace. You're my joy. All of those are encamped about salvation, right? It's all inclusive in the package. Hallelujah. Salvation isn't just I'm going to heaven when I die. That would be enough. I mean that's pretty good. But no, he's my salvation now. In other words, I have enemies against me, I have debts against me, I have pain in my body, you know, or pain in my mind or people, but my God is my salvation. In other words, God is the answer to the problem that I'm facing. So you have to remind yourself of that, and you have to tell yourself of that. Come on. You have to. Why? Because if you don't, you'll push God out of the center of things, and you'll be relying on yourself, and all you'll see are those who are against you, rather than understanding that He's for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Again, I will sing, verse 6, to the Lord, because He has dealt bountifully with me. Has God been good to you? Has He brought you out of some struggles? Has He been for you? You know, you got to remember that. And I will sing to the Lord, not because I want to, not because I feel like it, but because He has been good to me. Come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on. Right? I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on. And it's like when you don't feel like doing this, the very time you should do it, because you're remembering who you're in relationship with, the God of the universe. And that's what David was doing here. All right, go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So we have a psalm of when he was in trouble. The last one was when he was patiently waiting. But Psalm 23, it's not just a funeral psalm. In fact, the psalm is a declaration of who God is to David. Right? It's a psalm of declaration. Sometimes you got to declare some things. You got to declare some things to your own heart, to your own mind, but also maybe some people around you. Or maybe even to the atmosphere, to the angelic presence or the demonic presence, I'm declaring some things. And this is what David was doing when he said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who put every star in place, the one who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, is everywhere. That Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd? He's the one that leads me. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that protects me. You think about a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? He takes care of his sheep. Right? In fact, it says, and this is true, it says, you know, that they can have a whole bunch of sheep that are grazing, and there's all different flocks that are grazing in the same field. But the minute that the shepherd of a particular flock calls out to those sheep, they come out of the group and they come to him because they know their shepherd's voice. The Lord's my shepherd. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. I know Him. He knows me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not be in need of anything because He's my shepherd. See, sometimes you have to declare that to yourself when you don't feel like it, and especially when things seem to be going wrong, you have to declare, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. See, God will always lead you to peace, but the enemy will always lead you to turmoil. So if you're tormented, you can know that you're being spoken to by the enemy who wants to lead you to turmoil. But that's when you have to declare, oh no, I know where this is coming from. But I want to declare to you right now, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me beside the still waters. Are you listening to me? This is so in our prayer lives, just like David, when we're in trouble, we have to remind ourselves who's with us. Come on. When we're waiting, we have to put our focus back on Him. But in the midst of all of our lives, we should be declaring who God is. Have you ever heard this term, oh, magnify the Lord? Right? Oh, magnify the Lord. What does that mean? That means make Him big. It makes Him big. You guys, you know, you're probably not in this place, but there's times when the fine print comes, I not only have to use the reading part of my glasses, I have to get a magnifying glass so that I can read that sucker. Why? Because it's so small, I can't see it. I believe what it means to magnify the Lord is in the midst of my situation where it seems like God's far away, I need to magnify who He is so I can see who's for me. Right? I'm magnifying the Lord. I'm making Him big in Jesus' name. Right? He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my mind to the right thinking. He'll restore my thoughts back to the right way of thinking. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me to peace. He leads me to good things, but He'll also straighten my mind out if I'll keep my mind on Him. Right? I love the scripture that says He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. You remember that verse? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. It's really interesting because the Hebrew doesn't really have a word for mind. In the Hebrew, it would have been better translated, he will keep him in perfect peace who can keep his imagination on God. What's an imagination? It's having an image of something that may not be there. It may not be visible to your natural sight, but you can imagine that it's there. Right? People all the time, they... Josh? The people all the time get to the place where they're doing this, like they... You know, pay a dollar for a lottery ticket. And part of the fun of that, you know, I've bought them in the past. I haven't for years and years. But part of the fun of that is imagine what would happen if I won that $1 million or $2 million or $10 million or whatever. What would happen? And here's the reality. If we can imagine who God is in the midst of our situation and really get that into our mind, get the picture of that image into our mind and into our heart. Watch this. Then we'll see God bigger than the circumstances that we're facing. Are you listening to me? And so again, we need to come to the place where we're keeping our eyes on Him because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Watch this now. Verse 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Watch this again. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're declaring this. Hey, I don't care what you do to me. Come at me. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care. Even though I walk through that, God is going to be with me, and He's going to set a table before me in front of my enemies. In other words, God's going to pull me through, and you'll see His salvation. Right? You're going to see His salvation, and my life will be a testimony of what God can do. I like this part. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's kind of an interesting thing. Rod and staff comfort me. Rod and staff. Well, what was the rod and the staff used for with the sheep? It was for two things. It was to keep them in line, but it was also to knock the wolves in the head if they came after them. Right? I mean, it's kind of like it's for protection, but it's also for guidance. So in the midst of our lives, I declare, I might not know what to do, but His rod and His staff will not only lead me to where I want to go, He will protect me against the onslaught that the enemy wants to bring against me. See, this is a declaration that you have to make in the midst of trouble. I'm declaring, bless God, He is for me, He's not against me. Come on. God is not my problem. He's on my side. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I've been born again, not of natural seed, but of spiritual seed. And I've been born into the kingdom of God. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Who can overcome me? Come on. Even though they slay me, yet I'll praise His name because He is for me. He is with me. I refuse to complain about what's happening to me when God is with me. See, it's a declaration. Are you getting it? So these are, again, promises or prayers of David. He's praying these. He's declaring those. I think it's good for us to declare some things also. And verse 6, again, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, under the Old Testament, they had to go to His house to be in His presence. Under the New Testament, we are His house. We are His house. We are called the temple of the Most High because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside. We don't have to go to a building. We don't have to go to a shrine. We don't have to go to any. We just have to go into our hearts and say, Lord, You're with me. Holy Spirit, You're with me. You're with me. Come on. You're with me. You're with me. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Everywhere I go. Hey, goodness, mercy. Goodness, mercy. Goodness, mercy. They're following me. I'm going to have to chase them. They're chasing me. And it's true. God's goodness and blessing is over us. Amen. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of what we're going through, we've got to remember that we have a God who's concerned about us, that He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die and take our place. But not only that, that He knows what we're suffering and what we're going through on this life. But for Him, all He sees is the finished prize of you being with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. I'm closer to that day when I'm going to be with Him than I've ever been in my life. And I don't know if that's going to be 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 10 minutes. But I know this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm assured of this, that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And because of that, I'm going to be with Him forever. So surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Y'all getting something tonight? Amen. We need to put this into practice. Psalm 33, and this is a prayer of David, but it's a prayer of praise. Let me say that again. It's a prayer of David, but it's a prayer of praise. So our prayer life shouldn't be just made up of asking God when we're in trouble. It should be that we're talking to Him in the middle of our waiting. We should talk to Him by making declarations, but we should also have a life full of praise. And if you don't know how to do that, if you get tongue-tied by the third praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, then switch to hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, but you can, especially if you're filled with the Spirit, if you have a prayer language, you can let the prayer language go and just start to magnify Him in the Spirit, and He'll take over. But watch this. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. How many know that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? It's not talking about me being good enough. It's talking about the price being good enough to pay for my righteousness. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what's to say? It says the praise of the righteous is beautiful. It's beautiful. God likes it. I like it. Everybody likes it. So rejoice in the Lord, O you His righteous. Rejoice means I'm going to choose to have joy. Rejoice means that I'm going to choose to have joy. I don't always feel joy. I was thinking about that this morning when I didn't want to get up. Right? And I was thinking about, and thinking about this and thinking about that what's going on here? I've got to choose to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to choose to rejoice. So this was His way of praying praise. Look at this. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make a melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him. I wanted to get to this and think about this for just a minute. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Now, not all of us are musicians. And not all of us maybe have been blessed with a tune that anybody else wants to hear. Right?
I'm sitting right here.
But we can all sing to the Lord. Now, what does it mean to sing to the Lord a new song? Now, if you've been in the charismatic move for very long, you know that there's a time where a whole group of people will be singing hallelujah, and then they'll go off into tongues, and that's called sometimes a new song. But sometimes a new song can just be something spontaneous that's coming out of your heart. But I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this, and I thought, you know what a new song can be? Is a song of praise for something that He's done recently. In other words, today I was looking for my keys and I found them. Right? That didn't happen to me today. It did happen a couple of weeks ago, but I found them. Lord, I want to thank You for my keys. They were lost, but now they're found. I mean, and whatever it is in our life that you feel like God has blessed you with, put it in a song and thank Him for it. So a new song comes out of a new experience. Come on, I'm having an experience with God right now that there can be a song that comes out of that. I feel His presence new this morning. There can be a song that comes out of that. You're talking with somebody and something happens. A song can come out of that. You can be used of God in the gifts of the Spirit with a word of knowledge over somebody. You walk away from that. Dang, that was great. Thank You for using me, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. And a song can come out of that. And that's not just for musicians. That's not just for people who write music. But that's a way to put a praise in your heart that is tied to something that God has done. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I mean, we ought to be thanking Him for everything. I thank you for the breath that I have. I thank you that I could walk here, you know, walk into this place. I thank you for the car that I have. I thank you for the wife that I have. I thank you for the kids that you've given me. I thank you for the friends. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you, God, for your goodness. Amen? But we have to do that. And again, this psalm is all about praise. Verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." When's the last time we said, "Lord, I just thank you that you've allowed me to read and to know this"? When was the last time that we just began to rejoice that I can listen to the Word of God? Do you know that we live in a time that's just like no other time? You can get on YouTube, you can go different places, and you could have the Word of God being preached to you 24/7 all the time. Anointed preaching of filling yourself up with the Word, where that hasn't always been the case. It's been within our lifetime that even, you know, maybe beyond our lifetime, but relatively close, that radio was a thing. And then after radio became television. Then after television, the internet, and so on and so forth. But we're at the now where, I mean, you could Google anything and get a YouTube video showing you how to do whatever. What I'm saying is that we are the most blessed people that have ever walked in the face of the earth. We ought to be grateful for that. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. I mean, we got the women's retreat coming up. Thank you, God, that we're able to go to this place. Thank you that place is available. Thank you, Lord, for the money that you gave me to be able to go. Thank you for the anointing that's going to be there. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to use me to bless somebody else. We have to live our lives by that. Watch this now. The word of the Lord, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is their Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is their Lord. We could go to all of this, but go down to verse 20. It says, watch this. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you." Come on. Is that you tonight? Is that me tonight? It should be. Right? It should be. But our prayer life has to be full of praise. And again, if you don't have anything to praise him for, start to remember what he's done for you. And if that doesn't work, go back to the Psalms and just begin to read them and let David kickstart you. But apply them to your heart and to your situation and not just that's something that he wrote. But that's something that's real to me. I don't have this in the notes, but I'm just going to read it because I like it. In verse 1 of Psalm 34, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." I will praise the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Is that a choice? Is that something that you have to determine to do beforehand and then practice on a daily basis? Listen, praise is infectious. It will infect your heart. It'll infect your mind. It'll affect the atmosphere around you. I'll just say this, that praise can change the atmosphere where you're at. In your home, in your work, it can change the very atmosphere. If you'll get into the practice of praising, especially when you don't want to. I've told this before, but it fits here, so I'm going to tell it again. I was working at Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and the lunchroom, you go up to the lunchroom, and this was, you know, back in the mid-80s, and I'm in the lunchroom. The guys up there were telling jokes and cussing and doing all kinds of things throughout lunch, and it was just, I mean, it was depressing. And then I said, well, I'm not going to put up with that. I'll just go eat my lunch somewhere else. But I was eating my lunch somewhere else. I went, you know, this is not right. I have as much right to that lunchroom to sit at the table and, you know, do my thing and relax and enjoy my lunch as they do. So I decided to do this. Whenever they'd cuss or use the Lord's name in vain, I'd say something like, well, he'll help you out, but you should talk to him a lot nicer than that. Or they'd say something, I'd say, well, praise the Lord. You know, and I'd use praise not to be obnoxious, but I'd let praise come out of my mouth. And, you know, it changed that lunchroom. It wasn't long before there were some people who decided to go work at Banger. Well, they did. They did. They absolutely did. Some others who were really bad just quit all of a sudden. I don't know why they just quit. It was because praise changed the atmosphere, and there were some demons that couldn't stand it. But praise is that powerful. Praise is a weapon. So in our prayer life, praise should be a part of it. Go to Psalm 43. See, we could have gone to each one of the Psalms to examine David's prayer life, but I've just picked some, and I just thought, well, we'll do the threes. So we did 3, we did 13, we did 23, we did 33, and now we're looking at 43. It says, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now listen to this. O send your light and your truth. Let them lead me and bring them, and let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. I will go to the altar of God, to my God of my exceeding joy, and on a harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 3 it says, O send out your light and your truth. In the midst of his being surrounded by his enemies, he's saying, Lord, examine my heart. Show me the truth of everything and show it into my heart. Let me see what's really going on, and let me see that you're with me in the midst of what's going on. And I love in any part of the word, and especially in the Psalms, like in verse 5 where it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? All of us talk to ourselves. Sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it's just mental things that are going. We're talking to ourselves all the time. But he's talking to himself right now, and he says, why? In other words, what business do you have being cast down in your mind? Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's examining his heart and he's saying, Lord, let me see the truth in your light, and I'm going to put my heart next to that and allow you to change my thinking because you're right and I'm not. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? How many have ever felt like that? You know, all of us have been there. But that's when we got to scream out to ourselves, why are you cast down? Don't you know who you're with? Don't you know who's for you? Don't you know where you're headed? Don't you know what Jesus did? Don't you know? But you got to talk to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Right? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Put your expectation totally in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Why is your countenance down? Why are you allowing your countenance to be down? And I'm not saying that you're not going through stuff, but the reality is we have to put our eyes back on Jesus. Right? And say, listen, soul, you don't get to be down. You don't get to be down. You don't get to be down. And then you put a song on your, put worship up. You do whatever you need to do. You call somebody up and say, listen, I don't even want to tell you what's going on in my life, but I just need to talk about Jesus. Let's just talk about the Lord together. Let's just praise the Lord together. Let's, come on. Isn't that awesome? All right, let's go and we'll end with this one. Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity, for there is none who does good. Watch this now. This is so good. God looks down upon the heaven, upon the children of men, to see if there are any of those who understand who seek God. For every one of them is turned aside, and they have come together, become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have your workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as though they eat bread, and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when God brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and be glad. See, when you see others going through things, it's good for you to pray for them and begin to intercede for them and know that God is for them. We all have people that seem hopeless. We all have friends or loved ones or maybe even closer than that. Lord, how are you going to get through to them? It seems like they just keep making the same stupid mistake over and over and over and over again. And all they would have to do is turn their life toward you. I know that. And things would be different for them. If they'd make different choices, they'd have different consequences. Why aren't they doing that? Well, because the devil has their minds blinded, right? And so what is our stance in that? First of all, love believes the best of every person, right? Love believes the best of every person. In other words, I believe that there's still potential in the one who's been a drug addict for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. And that one touch from God can change everything if they'll submit to it. Correct? So what do we do in those instances? We put on intercession. We begin to pray for them. We begin to believe for them. We begin to believe in them. Right? And in their potential. There's not one homeless person out there. And you know, I just heard a horrible story of something that happened to somebody that I care about. And it was dealing with somebody that was mentally ill, and you know, But I believe that one touch from God can set that person straight. I have to believe that God can still have somebody that's totally addicted come into a service and His presence and His anointing touch them and they walk out completely different. How can I believe that? How can I know that? I can know that because it happened to me. It happened to me. I came into a room one way, but when I left that room, I was a completely different person. Completely different. Why? Because I came into contact and I yielded to the anointing of God. We have to begin and continue to intercede and pray and believe for the anointing of God to break yokes off of the people that we know and that we love. Amen? I've got about three or more of those, but that's where I'm going to stop tonight. Hallelujah. Did you get something tonight? See, what I'm asking or what I'm praying is that we implement this into our prayer lives, the things that I've been talking about over the last several weeks. We begin to pray like that. We begin to put praise in back into our prayer lives. We put intercession back into our prayer lives. We begin to look at God in our prayer lives and know that He's with us and that He's for us. And if we'll do that, things will change. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for everybody that's watching online. And if there's somebody, Lord, by chance that has never really made You the Lord of their lives, maybe they prayed the prayer, but they never fully understood their depravity and their need for a Savior. If there's somebody like that, Lord, I just ask You to speak to their hearts. And if you're like that, just make a decision that you're going to follow God. You're just going to lay everything down and you're going to give your life totally to Him. And He'll be the one that helps you change. Just come to Him as you are. And let Him change you in Jesus' name. Just ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Make Him the Lord of your life. And read the Bible, walk with Him, and He'll change it. Father, I ask You to bless them, be with them, touch them if they need healing in their bodies. Be with them. Finances, God, You meet our needs. Lord, I just thank You for peace where there was turmoil. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Hallelujah.